Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. We are back with our conversation. Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. Sorry for the confusion. We are trying to get a clip together. We wanted to share it with you. More about my interview with Scott Pressler and more with my interview with Miss Louise. So we are pulling up the interview with Miss Louise, and when we do, we're going to get it for you. Folks, the conversation we're talking about, the one that has me going, the one that makes me really recognize that perhaps I'm more negative than I like to think, the one that reminds me that I am a pessimist, although I have optimist leanings, right? I have a desire to become an optimist, but I'm not. I'm a pessimist and a realist and a pragmatist. I got all of them there. So, because I'm just thinking that when someone comes in to save my city, I'm wondering why they're here. I'm wondering, what is it calling us to do? I'm wondering why we couldn't do it. I'm wondering what I have failed to do to be responsive to the needs of my fellow residents. That's what's getting me concerned. And it's happening. I'm going to play a little piece of my interview with Scott Pressler, who's out there right now, folks. He's going to be here until 6 p.m. Kenny Ibram said, "You say we can clean. Why aren't we? Why do we have to wait for someone else to do it, then say that we can do it?" I mean, Kenny, we've been saying on this show, not just when Scott showed up, that we've been saying that this is our responsibility. We've gone into these communities. I've talked about it in my Afro column that no one's coming to save us. We need to save ourselves. Maybe I should have organized a neighborhood cleanup, folks. Maybe you should have. Travis says, look, Scott Pressler is going to run for mayor. I mean, maybe, you know, that's what's happening. He seems to have a real sense of what's going on. Gabrielle says, hey, I'm outraged by this. It makes us look helpless. Alvin said the city is being primed to be taken over by a white Republican. Hakee said, you know, I spoke at Dr. Claude Anderson's event in D.C. Ask him the question. Like, ask the question. And Hakee, I put this question on my Facebook. It's a controversial question, folks. You're probably not going to like it, but let's just say it. Do we need white people to save us? Because apparently, right now, we need them to clean up our neighborhoods. We need them to give us a way forward. We need them to show us the way through the thickets. I mean, I don't know. And this is not how I grew up, and it's contradictory to how I believe, because I believe, as has been who we are as Black folks for the last 400 years up in this country, recognizing that we must save ourselves. Folks, if you're like me, and I'm going to assume that you are, my grandmother carried me on her shoulders until I was strong enough to stand on them. That when my grandmother passed, I am standing on her shoulders. My job is to carry my children on my shoulders, and then one day they will stand on them. Do we need white folks to come in and save us? I am saying no, because we can save ourselves. But I want to hear from you. 410-319-8888. Let's hear a little bit of my interview, and I'm coming right back to Donna.
I don't know if this actually happened, but you also bring in air conditioners for the school. Did that happen as well?
We haven't done that yet. Okay. So what I read in the Baltimore Sun is that several schools closed down because of the heat.
67 schools.
And I heard 50, and I even had a hard time saying 50. I wanted to make sure that number was real, but
it's
67,
higher.
That's
it's
crazy. And, you know, if there's another problem out there, let's try to solve it. So a generous donor on Twitter, because I tweeted about the story, he said, Scott, I'll donate 20 air conditioning wall units to Baltimore City schools in need. So immediately I called the mayor's office and I said, you know, what can we do to help? I have this donor. And so I did receive a call back from the mayor's office, and they're trying to expedite the process because I'm sure there's a lot of red tape. I'm sure there's a lot of things that have to be.
Electricity things we're thinking
and
about.
And we don't have time. Right. These kids don't.
Okay, so you know what, folks? I just had to turn it off. Let me tell you why. And then I'm going to Donna. He said, I called the mayor's office to get a solution about these air conditioners, and someone from the mayor's office called me back. I am putting a pin right there, and I am for two reasons. One, because I remember When the residents of Poe Homes went without water, it was 4 days into them not having any water. And when I went into the Poe Homes community to talk to the residents, I heard over and over again, we have called the mayor every single day. And not one time has anyone called us back. That's number one. Number two, come on, folks. I've been trying to get the mayor on my show. Come on. I'm just saying. But Scott can call the mayor's office and get a call back. And they're working with him for these air conditioning units. Poe Home residents don't have water for 4 days and can't get a call back. I would like him to come and be on the show that's the voice of the community, and I can't get him on my show. I've never had the mayor on my show. Never. And we want the mayor to come on our show. Yeah, so that's why I had to turn it off. Before I mess around and say something on this air that I'm going to regret. Because that's the part of the interview where I almost had to get up and walk away. I did everything I could to contain and control myself, but nobody should be able to come in here, have access to our mayor when we can't get access to our mayor. 410-319-8888. I have Donna holding on. Hey, Donna. Thanks for holding.
Yes. And to continue my thought, so working with the state, when we saw this dumping taking place on state property in the city, we hired a consultant to find out exactly where it was coming from. We found out it was coming from the counties. I mean, when the report came out. So the state, the agencies, and them got together with the city. An environmental control group was in effect, but eventually an environmental control group had work with the state because we had to go on. They had to go undercover to find out where it was coming from. Of course, it was coming from Anne Arundel and wherever areas that bordered the counties. It was coming from that area. The fees to go into these landfills are very high, and a lot of these guys who come with the loads don't want to pay them. Sometimes they can't afford to pay them, and that's where you have. That's where I think all the counties, so the bordering counties, have to work with the city to stop this dumping. We cannot do it alone. So the city needs to go back and do another study, or the state needs to step in and help them to figure out, because they're not just dumping trash and stuff. They're dumping hazardous waste, all kinds of stuff. So we have to look at it as a health risk as well. So it's a two-part thing.
Okay.
We don't need white people to come in and rescue us in our city, because our city government is mixed with white and blacks working there. The mayor's office has white and blacks there, too. So we don't need white people to come to our city. The people in that community where this gentleman is going to, they're coming back to clean up more dumping. Well, those contractors came right back in and dumped it because they don't have to pay the fee, and somebody's going to come and take it away anyway. But we have to also have this conversation with Baltimore County and Anne Arundel County.
Yes, so that their folks can stay out of the city dumping their trash.
Something's wrong. And one final thing, I go to the dump to do my recycling. I do a lot of recycling. And it got, one summer, it got so bad that it was lines, I mean, backed up. And I kept saying, you could easily just drive in, found out that they found out that a lot of the people and developed contractors from the county were coming into the city to, like, Sesame Street, to use Sesame Street landfill to dump their stuff. Because something's wrong with these counties.
Yeah, and they need to be held responsible.
Right, something is something. So they had to, now you have to show your ID, you have to show proof that you live in the city, they take your tag number, and they run those tag numbers to make sure that you live in the city. Because if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. So
all
we
right.
really have to crack. We have to
we
go.
We have to crack
have
it
to
down.
Counties and stuff. We have to talk to the counties, and we have to also work with the state, and we have to crack down on these illegal dumping and find out why those fees are so high that the contractors have to go and dump in the city.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. Donnie, I appreciate you. We have Trez on the phone from Southwest Baltimore. Trez, how are you?
Hi, Dr. K. I called before, a couple of months ago, you had a show and you asked about what's wrong with Baltimore. I called in and I said one thing that was a concern of mine was the trash. And you laughed at me.
and see how times have changed, Trez. I'm telling you.
I
need to apologize right now to you.
I took offense to that. But
I am so sorry. I was wrong. I was wrong. Today, Trez, I'm telling you on the air and publicly, I was wrong and you were right. And I am sorry because here we are. What have we been talking about all day? Trash.
Well, I think it gets to, you mentioned it earlier, more than it just, we don't need anybody. I don't think we need anybody to come in here to save us. Is it a reflection of how we see ourselves, especially in communities where services aren't frequent and there is a lot of trash and where people take opportunities to go in and clean up and save the day? Or I think it's twofold as also because, you know, we want folks to come to Baltimore. We want businesses to come to Baltimore to employ us.
Right.
But we're not putting on our best face. And perhaps, you know, maybe that's why our grandmothers had us outside cleaning, you know,
cleaning
blocks. So that we could instill, you know, have that instilled in ourselves that we have to do this ourselves. And it's not rocket science. I mean, it's, you know, every day I see people throw stuff out of the window. So I think maybe it's like part education, you know, people just being educated about how bad it is to litter, how it makes the city look. I think there are multiple variables that go into this. But, you know, I'm definitely going to put my foot forward and do something in my community to take action.
All right. Thank you. And you know what? I'm glad you reminded me because now I need to seriously consider, because I cannot commit to this on the air, Trez, but I need to seriously consider how can I organize a cleanup? If I'm saying that nobody should come in here and save us, that means we need to be willing, right, to organize the cleanups ourselves, to go out and do what Scott did where he picked up 12 tons of trash in 12 hours, a ton per hour, folks. He had 170 volunteers. They're out there today. They've already gotten two or three dumpsters already. And they are there till 6 p.m. We have Abraham on the phone from East Baltimore. Abraham, how are you?
I'm fine, Dr. Key. I got a couple points.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I just need, before you speak, I've got to give you a quick update. I got to let folks know that there was an update. The mayor says there's no bomb. No bomb was detected after a suspicious vehicle caused evacuations in buildings around and in downtown Inner Harbor. They're still doing precautionary security sweeps, but do note, folks, as of 19 minutes ago, WJZ tweeted out, no bomb has been detected. All right. Sorry about that, Abraham, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple points, Dr. K. I applaud you saying about the water shortage in the apartments.
No,
yes. We didn't get nothing response from the mayor. I applaud you by bringing that up because, number one, the first caller made an interesting point. Disability. You got the drug dealers on disability. You need to cut out. That's like welfare. I mean, that's like a step up from welfare. They're using that disability. Two, the second caller, the woman caller, but talking about the trash dumping.
Yes.
It's true. They're dumping. Because, look, Dr. Key, I'm not going to say the address, but I clean up every, at least 4 days a week, 114th West Saratoga Street. No, West Saratoga Street and Utah and Saratoga Street by the Lexington Market. That's trash. You ride on the street at night. I mean, the drug dealers out there, and it's trash. I mean, it's ridiculous. Mm. I mean, it looks like a war zone. I mean, it's trash. I mean, the subway. I mean, you get out the subway. I mean, it's trash. I mean, it's everybody responsible.
I mean, it's just everyone. That's what I'm saying. I think it's all of us.
And like you said, we don't need a person of color come in and rescue us. I mean, the color of nationalities is the ones dumping the trash. I'm not going to say which nationalities, but
when we talk about Baltimore County, some of the places coming here and doing the dumping.
Yes, ma'am. What I'm saying is we do not need an outsider. This is a Baltimore problem. This is
right.
A Baltimore
there you go. Thank you.
Problem.
Yes.
I mean, we do not need, I mean, and it's also political because, Dr. Key, Look at L.A. when they had the drugs and the trash. Look at Atlanta. Look at D.C., the mayor, all black mayors. This guy is trying to run for office.
Oh, he's going to run. Yeah, that's your next mayor. I'm just going to thank you so much. I just want to say, folks, get used to saying the name Scott Pressler, because he will be back in October. He's making plans to come almost monthly to help clean up this city because Baltimore, quote, just needs some love and attention. We have Leo Burrows from Bolton Hill. Hey, Leo.
Dr. K.Y.'s Whitehead, stay on the battlefield because I'm angry.
I was looking for you on Saturday, by the way.
I needed to be angry.
Well, I was looking for you on Saturday at the Roots of Scouting event that took place. Where was it? At Lake Montebello.
Yeah, Mike Douglas.
I was there.
Was the chairperson of our...
I asked for you.
Yeah, Mike Douglas was the chairperson of our athletic development committee, and he was in charge of that event. I wish I could come to all the events that we have, but I'm not able to do so. We are meeting on Monday next week at 7 o'clock at St. Cecilia. Hope you can come through. But let me just say that let me be satirical. I mean, we all need white missionaries, right? It's like the plantation Baltimore. The mayor, he panders to certain elements politically, not the least of which he did the thing with the squeegee boys saying most of them are violent or something alluding to that effect. We have a clean block campaign, Afro clean block. It's not where it used to be, but the city should place this as the highest priority in terms of how it functions with relationship to the Afro clean block campaign. And the city needs to cease and desist from promoting abandoned housing, because I maintain there's no housing code enforcement or sanitation enforcement of any substance in Baltimore City. And that's been a problem primarily in this city in black communities. It's not true in Roland Park,
right,
or predominantly white communities. Let's get that straight.
No.
It's happening in the black community, and it's by design. So it all links into gentrification and institutional racism and all the negatives. And when I think of Donald Trump and his emissary, Scott Pressler, in this case, I think that's his emissary. I can't think of anything else other than that Donald Trump himself is the big white rat, and we better understand what he represents. I heard one of your callers say earlier that he had moved out of the city because the city has problems.
That's what he said. Yes, he
did. Well, look, we got a lot of cowardice among our people. I don't care whether you're middle class, whether you have a six-figure, $600,000 salary. If you're not willing to work with people who are not economically at your level, and if you don't love us enough, we got to love each other more, irrespective of whether we earn $600,000 or $60, then we're not gonna make it. And the move out of the city is indicative of cowardice reflected on the part of a whole lot of folks who don't work in community organizations, block clubs, neighborhood associations. They won't volunteer their time to do anything to help anybody, but they will point the finger. We got to stop that.
I agree with you. Thank you so much.
But
we got to do something. We got to do something. And so I'm all for not pointing the finger, Leo. I'm all for not doing that. I'm also wondering, just as I seek to hold other people accountable, I'm holding myself accountable. I mean, it's not, you know, I'm not saying that you need to go out and do it. I'm saying we need to go out and do it. If we're saying that we don't need anyone to save us, if we're saying we can save ourselves, if we're saying we have the ability, the wherewithal, the common sense, folks, to do this, then my next question is, when do we do it? And when do we, you know see here, is what we have to put some facts on this, right? Because as we're waiting for Scott to get folks all around the country to do their humanitarian aid, their feel-good work here in Baltimore, we've done this before. Think about the day after the Baltimore uprising. We were out there cleaning up. Where were you? I know I was. I was passing people that I knew. I was passing, you know, Reverend Heber Brown, who was out there cleaning up. I mean, I saw people out doing the work. I saw LBS out there, Adam Jackson, Dave Online. People were out on the streets trying to bring this city back together. We can do it because we have done it. So then where are we falling down, folks? What I think is interesting is that as I think about Baltimore City, this is that hand, this right hand where I'm trying to hold all my frustration about my city. I'm also frustrated about the politics of the city. I mean, anybody else concerned about the fact that they're now putting police officers out on bikes to patrol the corners so that the young squeegee enterprisers won't do their work? So let's patrol the young brothers who are out here making a dollar, because they said that's the real problem of the city. You know what? 240 homicides later, I beg to differ. I think we got some other issues that we really need to sit down and figure out a plan to get everybody on the same page. To tell me that we had 7 shootings between Saturday night and Sunday night, hey, that's 24. To tell me we had a quadruple shooting, you're telling me we had a mass shooting, because that's the definition of a mass shooting, where 4 or more people, not including the shooter, get shot in a continuous fashion. 410-319-8888. We got Tony from Northwest Baltimore. How are you? Oh, it's already time for a break. I tell you, folks, let me hold. I'm getting all excited. I'm going to hold it here. When we come back, let's finish our conversation. Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, this conversation, it's gotten a little heated, right? Because we're talking about Baltimore City and who is responsible for saving us. Who is responsible for helping us? Who is responsible for putting us on the right path? I would argue that we are. That we are responsible. When our children are sitting in classrooms without air, yes, I hold the city responsible. Yes, I hold the politicians responsible. Yes, I hold the CEO responsible. But yes, I also hold us responsible. When our communities have 12 tons of trash to be picked up and it still doesn't look like it's clean, yes, I hold the city responsible. Yes, I hold the elected officials responsible. But yes, I also hold us responsible. And we say that no one's going to come and save us. That we have to save ourselves. What are we willing to do? 410-319-8888. I have Bubby on the phone. Bubby said he had an opportunity to talk to Scott. How are you, Bubby?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking my call. You know, considering that I live in Sandtown, was directly across the street from Fulton Avenue, where Mr. Scott and another guy I met there, Philip, was coordinating the effort to clean up the community of the Matthew Henson community. But let's be perfectly clear. I have lived in Sandtown my entire life, and I have been involved in hundreds of community cleanups. But let's get to the greater point. Our city officials should be ashamed that others can come in here and put a spotlight on our city and show some of the worst ills and the worst fragments of our community. Let me be perfectly clear again. We worrying about trash. When we in my part of the community, we worrying about where did the cash go. And on that particular area of Fulton Avenue, that is the new gentrification program that was going on in this community. No one holds Rudy Chow accountable at DPW. No one holds Janet Abraham at the Baltimore City Housing Authority accountable. No one holds Jack Young accountable. First of all, I would have had so much equipment over there and directed my DPW director of that particular area to have that place spotless. I walked Pennsylvania Avenue on Saturday. It was spotless. It can be done. I just got through walking from Penn North 10 minutes ago. It looked like a Zombieville hellhole.
Now, let me ask you this, Bubby. I appreciate it because I came down and I talked to Scott. So he's down there cleaning up. Now, last time he said did 12 tons. This time he's done two or three dumpsters already. What can we do as a resident of that neighborhood? What can we do to sustain this effort?
First of all, we need to put cameras. Second of all, we need to provide a dumpster every month for the community. Thirdly, we need to give our bags. Thirdly, we need for the Department of Housing and Community Development to enforce the laws on the rule with illegal dumping. The stuff that there is not average household material.
Okay. All right, Bubby. I mean, I understand, and I think it's interesting to have you here because this is your community. Let me ask you one final question. I threw a question out here. I'm saying, you know what, do we need other people, outsiders, whether they're white folks or black folks or Asian folks from outside our city to come in here and save us? But, Bubby, they're cleaning up the neighborhood. So maybe we need outsiders to save us.
First of all, no one will save us but us.
That's what
secondly,
I always say. Come
these
on.
People can bring the attention that our politicians have become numb to us howling and crying that we need for them to do the job that they say they want to do before we elect them.
Mm. This man might mess around and be our next mayor.
Oh, my God. Don't do that.
I mean, you know, I'm just saying, folks. But this is how it starts, right? So Baltimore's now a pet project of his. This is how it starts.
And I'm on my way back out around now. I went home and put on my boots and got my gloves.
I'm so glad you did. Bubby, check in with us tomorrow. I want to know how things ended up, okay?
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, folks. It's interesting. Now, I had the interview with Scott Presley and the interview with Miss Louise on my Facebook page. I'll also link it to the WEAA page. You can go and you can watch. You can get a sense of who he is, this 6'5" man with, you know, shoulder-length hair, coming in and saying, I need to give some love and attention to Baltimore because your city needs help. Keep your chin up, unquote, is what he's telling you to do. We have Tony on the phone from Northwest Baltimore. Tony, how are you?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, I've been waiting, getting heated. Actually, when Trump said what he had to say, you should have seen me in my house. I was happy he said it because I got so tired of living in it.
Ooh.
I live in Park Heights. I've been shot. I've been everything you can be. But I came up. And we started buying property in our community. I called you before and was telling you about, you know, me and my friends bought up property in the community.
Right.
Our biggest problem is our city officials and our people that don't help us is trying to make the thing better, like everybody else keeps saying.
Mm.
You can't blame people in vacant home areas going to throw trash. You live in a vacant area where all these vacant homes, you get used to, you see trash, so you're going to throw trash. They're not cleaning. They're not helping people that's trying to make the place better. All they want to do is run around, find people, as you see the out people come in the city,
right,
and develop. But then when us as a people, we're developing our own city, they're not trying to help us. Now, if I was a dope fiend or a crackhead, maybe, hey, we got a methadone clinic. We got this for you. What about the people that's actually trying to do for their neighborhoods? Where are those centers at to actually help us, you know, prosper and make our city better.
Yeah, and this is what's happening. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Folks, just got a text that I need to share with you. It came from Saab Gray. Now, I just want you to hold on to what he's getting ready to say, because I just read it and I'm like, we got to share this now. He's saying, hey, Scott Presler is a lot more than just a do-good white savior. He is a white supremacist with ties to the Proud Boys and Identity Europa. This whole thing is a stunt to make Baltimore and Elijah Cummings look bad. Saab Gray is, you can see him on Facebook. He is a man who's not of color, but he's letting me know, hey, let's do some more research into this feel-good effort to make Baltimore. I do know that one of the things I found out about Scott Presley, which I thought was interesting, was when he does his activism for Trump. You've got to take a look at this, folks. So when we talk about foxes coming up in the hen house, talking about saving us, you know what? Everything that's free ain't free. That's what my grandmother used to say. That when they're giving out free food, you say no. When they're giving out free goods, you say no, because everything that's free ain't really free. There's a price for everything. So Scott now has access and has a narrative that he is talking about, not just in Baltimore, but around the world. He's been to 15 cities to talk about what he did for his cleanup effort to Baltimore, and they consider him to have a blueprint for how to clean up cities. He was here one day, 12 tons of trash. He now has a blueprint for how to clean up the inner cities, i.e. how to clean up our neighborhoods, i.e. how to clean us up. We have Ray on the phone. Ray's a new call from Baltimore. Ray, how are you? And welcome to the family.
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Right. What we need is black-on-black male accountability. If somebody else wants to help us, I don't have much to say about that. But here's the thing. We have thousands of black men on the street every day, not working for whatever reason. Sun up to sundown, standing around, throwing trash down, trash can right by them, throwing trash down. And the accountability is not just about the trash. It's about our community in general. It's about the children we're bringing into the world and ain't doing nothing for. You know, we want to blame the schools, the city council. The most powerful thing that you can have in a community is a conscious black man, period. Mm. The more you rely on external factors, the weaker you create your men and your families. We have able-bodied men all throughout Baltimore City who are out all day contributing to the problem. We don't want to call a spade, no pun intended. And we're ignoring that. I don't care whether a white boy or white racist comes into the city or not. What are we doing daily, the thousands of black men who are throughout the city every day? I mean, I picked up trash that I've seen grown men throw down. And when you say something to them, we want to tell the truth about it, you're going to get cursed out. Brother, trash can right there. I don't know. So until we're honest about our own individual behavior, white people are going to continue to use us and abuse us, because the unity and the accountability that we have for each other as black males is simply not there.
Mm. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. We have Raquel on the phone from Owens Mills. Raquel, you have an idea for a cleanup in October? Well, now, are you going to do this with Scott, or is this a separate one?
Hi, Dr. K. This is Raquel again. My idea is October the 5th, we call that cleanup day for everybody in Baltimore City. I'm not in Baltimore City, but I own a lot of properties in Baltimore City. I will go down to Jack Young's office and Brandon Scott tomorrow and present it to them. If we can get everybody to come out from 7 in the morning to 7 at night, clean up your street, clean up your alleys, put it on a corner, I will call Peggy Smallwood. She's in charge of sanitation. She's the supervisor for sanitation, and ask her, is there any way we can get dumpsters put on at least 5-block radius?
Now, what day is this? I'm putting this down.
October the 5th. I'm going to present it to Jack and Brandon.
If you get it, let me know, because we want to get behind that effort. Thank you so much, Raquel. We have Omar from Baltimore County. Omar, how are you?
I'm all right, Dr. K. We've spoken before. I just wanted to point out something, and I had a question as well. You're a researcher. You do social science research, and I think that this is the kind of thing that has macro and micro levels that your skills would be appropriate for in some institutional setting. Having said that, I want to point out something that people like this guy, Scott, given your new information about him, are the same kinds of white folks who come in, they do this sort of thing, but remember, they're the same kind of white folks who burn down the Black Wall Street. In other words, when folks have done very well and are taking care of themselves, whether it's Rosewood, whether it's the Black Wall Street in Oklahoma, these are the kind of people who come and burn it down once we are doing well. My question for you is that what happened to the folks who are community development? I hesitate to use a certain word, black nationalists, but because of the way that white nationalism, black nationalism is not the reverse of that. But what I'm saying is, what happened to the community organizations from the 60s, from the 70s, that talked about community development? Where are the brigades of young men and women from Morgan and Coppin State to go out?
where the fraternities,
right. Yes.
The Masons. And yeah, we do need cameras in the community because we have a macro and a micro problem. This macro dumping from developers, that's one thing. But the low threshold for trash tolerance, that's an internal cultural thing.
Yes, it is.
On the street kind of thing. Those are two levels of
I like
something.
That. So the one, macro one and the micro. Yes.
Yeah, right. One is something that the city needs to deal with, and we need to have cameras and underground stings, and people need to be out there taping at night and putting it up on the internet and exposing people. That's a macro thing. But then the other thing, and a more street level thing, the question is about our sense of cultural nationalism and in terms of our own communities and our own spaces. And all of this is very important, Dr. K, but you and I both know that the problem with lead in the water and chemistry and chemicals in the water affecting the cognitive abilities of children, making those who are brilliant average and those who are average duller, we know that that's a cost.
Right. Now, I have to stop you there, Omar. I appreciate you. Folks, I'm just looking at a clip here. So the person who just told me about Scott Pressler did send me a clip, which I am looking at now. Right-wing extremist Scott Pressler, this is the name of the clip, organizes trash cleanup in West Baltimore. He is a right-wing extremist. This is a video that was produced with Eddie Conway in it. Yes, folks, I'm just going to leave this out here. See, this is why I'm all upset. This is what I'm talking about. This is why I am trying to figure out why the narrative of someone coming in to save us then gets picked up around the country. Well, this is why. This is why. This is why there's a sense that we need to be saved, that we need to be taken care of, that we need to have, you know, the old master just kind of, you know, telling us what we need to do and where we have to go. We can't take care of ourselves, so please come in here and clean up our neighborhoods for us because we can't do it ourselves. We have Belle on the phone. New call from Columbia. Belle, how are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, this is Belle. And
welcome.
I'm a first-time caller and listener. I listened to a couple of gentlemen, one prior to the previous gentleman that called.
Yes.
And maybe about 45 minutes, another gentleman who called. Both of them explaining how black men are part of the issue in terms of cleaning, in terms of family structure, but you seem to just kind of blow by that. It really blow past that. It really doesn't matter about white people and what they're doing or what they're not doing, and if they're Republican or nationalist or any of that kind of stuff. This is 2019. I'm born in Harlem, New York, grew up in New York, and it's the same kind of thing all over the country, although Harlem has got their act together these days.
Yes.
And I say, we have got to stop this attributing things to white people.
So then let me ask you this, Belle, because I appreciate you calling. In this particular instance, where we're specifically talking about what is happening with the trash cleanup right here in Baltimore City, and mm-hmm. the narrative that's being created that it's not going to get done, apparently, until someone comes in to do it for us because we don't have the wherewithal and good sense to do it. What do you think we do in this situation? It's not just white folks this, white folks that. We're talking specifically about the narrative that's being created around the cleanup effort.
So your question is?
Well, in this particular situation, we said we need to move beyond that it's white people doing it. I'm saying, what do we do? Because that's the narrative that's being created that we're actually talking through on the show. The show, I know you said you're a first-time listener and first-time caller, and I'm welcoming you to the family, but this is not what the show is about every day. Every day we deal with different topics, from local topics in our school to national topics to international topics. Today we're specifically talking about the narrative that has been created around Scott Pressler coming in to clean up Baltimore City, the narrative that he's pushing and the narrative that's been picked up around the country that says we cannot do this ourselves. We need people like Scott Pressler to come in and show us how to clean up and clean up for us.
We don't need people.
Yes.
Need people. like Scott to come in to do that for the people of Baltimore City. It's a matter of bending down and picking it up for yourself, like the other callers and particularly those gentlemen mentioned earlier. This doesn't have to be an issue for us if we were conscious about our communities and the importance of keeping it up, keeping it clean. Who else is going to do that to
us? That's what I'm saying. That's what the discussion is about, that it's not looking for someone from the outside to come and save us, but also holding ourselves accountable for us, for this. This is on us. Like I said, I'm not just blaming politicians or Scott. I'm saying I'm also blaming myself. What do I need to do so that we don't have 12 tons of trash sitting in one community waiting until somebody comes along to pick it up?
And where there are areas that are particularly egregious, where people are coming in from other
yes.
parts of the county.
Yes,
or the
this is that community. Yes.
Perhaps in those areas, cameras can be put up so that people can start taking license plate numbers and doling out tickets for people who are coming into the neighborhood and causing, you know, further problems. But the immediate problem has to be taken care of by the people who live in Baltimore City themselves.
Right. Thank you so much, Bella. I appreciate you. We have Z on the phone from Baltimore. Z, how are you?
I'm good. You know, where can I start? You know, I listen every day pretty much to your show, Dr. K, but this is a really frustrating show to me because, first of all, only after the guy said that this guy coming in, I don't even want to say his name, because we're going to hear this again, and it's not going to be pretty how he put it. I wouldn't even be talking to him because it sounds like he has a plan, and
oh,
it's
yes.
not going to be good for Baltimore, first of all. And I was looking at the TV, and I think the city is trying to do some things. I was looking at Channel 25, no longer than just so happened. I don't look at the channel often. It's the city channel. And you know what they were talking about, Queen?
What?
They have what they call Beautiful City Cleanup. And they have identified a representative from each area who will be coming out with young people to clean the areas. Now, I don't know when this is going to get started. And some of the people who call this show all the time is a part of it. And none of them mentioned it today, but they do have this going on. And I don't know when it's going to start, but it's called Clean Up Beautify Baltimore or something to that effect. And they have community leaders from different communities. They are assigned to go and clean up in the area. Did you hear anything about
no,
that?
No, I have not. But when we're making a note, Justina's going to follow up on that.
Yeah,
thank you so much, Z. We're going to find out what's going on.
No longer I think it came on Monday on Channel 25.
Okay, we will definitely check into that and see what's happening. Thank you so much, Z. We have, let's see, you're Alan on the phone from Baltimore. Alan, how are you?
I'm just fine, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much.
There's a few things I want to mention. I think this all got started because Elijah Cummings was causing Donald Trump trouble. So he decided to cause...
Oh, yes.
In his district, he did the same with the four women who have just recently been elected to Congress. I don't know anything about this man. I know we keep saying, why don't white people get woke? Well, maybe that woke him. I don't know. He got a guy come up with 20 air conditioners. So
yes.
far... I'm on his side.
Okay.
When he starts saying, you should thank President Trump, I think Trump got unexpected consequences because it sparked people's interest. They got lured by the magic of Baltimore. They came here. I can't see the future. I don't know, but what they're doing so far. He got some other guys, and I bet he's going to get some other guys.
Oh, yeah, this thing is going to keep growing. Baltimore
City. Once people get woke, they really stay woke.
All right, thank you so much, Alan. Once people get woke, they stay woke. You know what, folks? I don't know. I'm just going to say that. I am not completely convinced, A, that Scott is woke, or B, that the person who sent Scott motivated Scott to come to Baltimore is woke. I am probably never going to use Donald Trump and woke in the same sentence. Donald Trump, who, by the way, is coming on Thursday. So note to self, unless you're protesting, you probably shouldn't leave the house. I'm just saying. So when we talk about this narrative from the right-wing extremists, now I'm angry at myself. Like, that's how this thing gets twisted. I'm like, okay, wait a minute now. We got to figure this out. We've got to figure out who we want to be. Who do we want to be at this moment in time, folks? The narrative of us being helpless, the narrative of us not being able to take care of ourselves, the narrative of us not being able to do for ourselves is a disgrace to the memory of our ancestors. Here it is, 2019. It's the 400th anniversary of Africans coming into English-speaking North America. You just had 1619, The Project, by Nicole Hannah-Jones, come out through the New York Times. You can go and see my column in the Afro. And you're telling me that 400 years later, we can't do this ourselves? It's a disgrace to our ancestors. It is. We have Dwayne on the phone from Baltimore City. Dwayne, how are you?
Dr. K, just happy to be here, but I'm just blown over by this conversation, you know, about this trash. You know, I've been saying since I moved to Baltimore, I've been talking about the trash because it blew my mind how much trash that I would see and how people had such a cavalier attitude about the trash. And I would tell some of my friends, you know, who I would talk to down in Florida, and some was like, you know, we have a problem up here with beating trash. I mean, I don't know how we're gonna build Wakanda if we can't beat trash. You know what I'm saying? Like, how are we gonna create Wakanda if we can't even beat trash?
Come on, okay? We had to be
prompted to even do something about the trash by the president after he called us out, you know, for the very things you just talked about basically shaming ourselves to our ancestors.
I mean,
for
really?
Allowing the problem to become what it has become. You know, we got a guy here picking up trash who, you know, certainly may have some other intentions, but if he's picking up trash and moving trash, hey, we cannot accept that assistance, because up until we got shamed, that's when we decided to mobilize, and that right there is a shame in itself.
Let me push back a little bit, because I think that we can agree that there are activists here who've been doing this work. Come on now, it's not like we waited for the shame for us to work. We've doing this work.
Dr. K, Baltimore is a city of people and a city of government who are people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the black people in Baltimore, who are the majority, and the black leadership, okay, are responsible for this problem all together, not one separate, all together, okay? So we got shamed, and now we're mobilized, meaning, you know, we got people coming up and moving trash. I'm embarrassed by it. I'm not even from Baltimore. I'm embarrassed.
It's embarrassing.
Okay?
It's embarrassing.
But we have no one to blame for this but ourselves. We need to take it on the chin so that we can learn.
Right.
And we need to, you know, let's stop the campaign of let's just look good and focus on being good instead of looking good. Just be good instead of looking good. We focus too much on looking good versus
being good. We need to just be
good.
All right. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm getting ready to walk off this show. Let me just say that. That's how I feel right now. I am ready to walk off this show. That is how angry I am right now. Lucille Clifton, black woman, poet, wrote this poem called Won't You Celebrate With Me. Let's just listen to the last line here. The last line says, and this is what motivated me this weekend, and this is why I'm going to stay on my show. I ain't walking off. But listen to this. On the last line of the poem, Won't You Celebrate With Me, Lucille Clifton says, come celebrate with me that every day something has tried to kill me and has failed. Lucille Clifton, come celebrate with me that folks, they tried to kill us and they fail. They tried to shame us and they fail. They tried to stop us and they fail. They tried to crush us and they fail. Dr. King said, truth crushed to earth will rise again. Come on, folks. We have conversations that matter on this show because I believe it is through conversations, it's through brainstorming, it's through sharing that we can get to some solutions. I am not blaming the city politicians only. I'm not blaming the CEO only. I'm not blaming the mayor only. I'm also blaming us. This is our city. I'm asking you now to think deeply about the type of city you want to live in. If you have planted your flag in this city, then I'm challenging you now to hold the ground that you have been given. See, folks want to talk about the Bible and they want to talk and have God increase their territory. You know what? You have not big things because you can't handle the little things. So how about we make a decision together that we're going to hold the ground that we have been given. If we want Baltimore City to be better, then I challenge you to help me make it better. I challenge you to join me back here tomorrow at 3 p.m. Let's have another conversation that matters, and let's fix this city together. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead, folks. Coming up, it's For the Culture with Faraji Muhammad. Coming back tomorrow at 3 p.m. is me, because we're going to have this conversation. I'm angry today. I'm frustrated. I'm ashamed. I'm deeply ashamed. But I do know one or two things. One is that I love this city. And two is that I'm willing to work to make it better. Will you join me? Kind of like my dad says in the church, we opened the doors of the church and said, will you come? Folks, will you join me? Will you join me and help to make it better? Angela Davis said, I'm no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I'm changing the things I cannot accept. Make a plan. We'll be back here tomorrow at 3. Let's do it tomorrow, and let's do it together.
And a good evening. Still in the downtown area, expect delays because of diversions and disruptions in service on the MDOT-MTA bus lines. This is because of the multiple street closures because of police activity. Some of those bus diversions include the 54 line and the Brown line southbound diverting at Lombard and Calvert. The Navy line westbound also diverting at Lombard and Calvert. The yellow line southbound diverting at Guilford and Fayette. The yellow line northbound diverting at Martin Luther King and Pratt. The silver line southbound diverts at Fayette and Charles. The silver line northbound diverting at Light and Conway. For the MTA Transit Team, I'm Ken Berger on 88.9 FM WEAA, the voice of the community.